Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last 32 years of my ministry, I lived in a community in the Sierra Nevada foothills called Paradise, California. I was blessed that the church and the parsonage were on 7 acres of these tall pine trees. We had rabbits and squirrels and raccoons and deer and skunks. Have you ever been skunked? I don't mean did you lose at a card game or in a ball game. I mean literally skunked, sprayed by a skunk. Fortunately, I never was, but one of my dogs was. And if it's ever happened to you or to one of your animals, you know the smell, the literal stench of skunk. It's an overwhelming sort of gag you sort of feeling, and you do almost anything to get rid of it. Water doesn't really do anything. Soap doesn't help very much. Shampoo, tomato juice, and milk all do little. A website said use vinegar and soap, baking soda, and mentioned other cleaning supplies, but it didn't help. Some things cover it up a little bit, but nothing except time gets rid of the smell. The point is, being skunked is unpleasant and really stinks in more ways than one. I want you to pause and imagine this. What if every time you or I sinned, there was a smell? What if immediately everyone around us would know? What if you couldn't go into a store or walk down the street without the smell of sin not only affecting you, but everyone around you? In a strange way, it might be good. Maybe we would walk through life and our Christian experience a little more carefully if we knew there would always be immediate and powerful consequences for the way we live and act. All four Gospels tell us of the power and the coming of John the Baptist. Matthew, Mark, and Luke basically tell the same story. Their emphasis is that John proclaimed a message of repentance and forgiveness and preparation for the coming Messiah. John's gospel emphasizes that John the Baptist did not claim to be the Messiah. Instead, he pointed to Jesus and said, "He is the Messiah." Tonight, we're going to look at John the Baptist. We want to clearly hear his message, and we want to respond with our hearts and minds. We want to hear what John has to say and be about the business of trying to live it. We want to hear what John has to say and try to find a way to share it with our world. One line from the story from St. Mark's account intrigued me. "The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him." Don't you find that intriguing? Don't you find it interesting? All of the countryside and all the people from Jerusalem went out to see John. And John wasn't set up in Temple Square. He wasn't in downtown Jerusalem. He wasn't at a Rupp Arena type place. No, he was what Isaiah had predicted, a voice crying in the wilderness. He was out in the desert. It wasn't convenient to go to John the Baptist. It wasn't easy. And yet the whole countryside and all of Jerusalem went out to him. Why? Why do you think that was? Apparently there was something in his message. I suppose some went to see this wild-looking man. We're told he wore a garment made out of coarse camel's hair, and then he just had a leather thong that kind of tied that loose-fitting garment around him. Maybe it was his diet. Somebody might have been intrigued. Locusts and wild honey? That sounds strange. No doubt some were interested in that he was letting the Pharisees have it. Most of the Pharisees were self-righteous and looked down on other people, thought they were better. People resented them, so I have no doubt they were glad to hear someone saying, "You're a bunch of snakes, you're a brood of vipers." I guess in terms of my opening illustration, John could have said, "You know, you guys smell." The Bible tells us that they were like a whitened sepulcher. That means they were whitewashed tombs on the outside, but inside they were full of decay. Some must have liked hearing the Pharisees be warned. But the majority must have come for the message. And what was the message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 1 Peter says this, or 2 Peter. Peter warns us that the end of the world will come and says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, since everything will be destroyed. What kind of people ought you to be? John warned people and told them to repent. Well, what were the sins of those days? For one, the people had started to trust in the law rather than trusting in the love of God. They thought they were going to get to God by obeying the laws of their religion. Many of them wanted a worldly Messiah. They wanted someone to chase the Romans out and restore the Jewish empire. But they were not looking forward to, they weren't praying about the coming of the Messiah. And so John's message was loud and clear. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does it mean to repent? I probably have shared this story with you. I've shared it with so many congregations I've lost track, but it's worth repeating. Young pastor's son was in church and he heard the congregation confess their sins. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, but I'm heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. The young pastor's son listened and heard, but I am heartily sorry for my sin. But later he asked his father, why does God forgive us when we say we're hardly sorry for our sins? You think the young man was on to something? Do you think sometimes we are hardly sorry instead of heartily sorry? Sometimes are we sorry we got caught, but not that sorry about what actually happened? Sometimes do we seek forgiveness without really thinking about what happened and dealing with the cause of our sin? Do we smell what our sin is like? Or do we just cover it up with perfume? John the Baptist called on the Pharisees, called on the crowds, calls on you and me to repent of our sin and to be heartily sorry for it. We usually say repenting has two parts. The first part is indeed to be sorry for our sin. The second part is to try to turn away from that sin. Part one is to regret what happened. Regret that we did something we know we shouldn't have done, or that we failed to do something we know God would have us to do. Part two is to sort of ask the question, how do I avoid this situation in the future? What practical things do I need to do to avoid this sin tomorrow and the day after? Not a happy message. Not words we like to hear. We don't like criticism, as you often have heard. Even when we ask for it, we don't really want it. We don't want to be told what we should or shouldn't do. But the message all mankind needs to hear from John the Baptist is repent. That is part of what fascinates me about the picture in our text. John said repent. John called people snakes. John must have made people uncomfortable. And yet the whole countryside and all of Jerusalem came out to him. Now some may be like what's happened, I'm sure, to all three of us pastors. After worship, someone will come up and say, great sermon, Pastor. I wish so-and-so would have been here to hear it. Now, I know what they usually meant was, Pastor, your words spoke to me. God spoke to me through the text. And I know someone else who needs to hear it. But it almost comes off, you know, I didn't really need it, but I know some people who do. Some of the crowds may have been there because they liked hearing what they thought other people needed to hear. But many apparently heard and believed. After reporting that the whole countryside came to him, it says, while confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Many were moved by the Holy Spirit to repent of their sins and ask to be baptized. They did repent. Now let's pause here and note something wonderful and powerful. Let's note a principle that we should never ignore in our personal witness or in the preaching and teaching of this congregation. People respond to the Word of God. Our message is not always easy to hear. Our message may make some angry at times. Our message may be misinterpreted, but we must always proclaim the Word of God in its truth and in its purity. And when we do, people will respond. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to draw people to Him. So we dare not sugarcoat the message of the Bible. The Ten Commandments, as you've heard many times, can't become the Ten Suggestions. We don't let people say, doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. We don't back off from teaching original sin that tells us all are sinful and need to repent and turn to God in faith. Even when the message is harsh, even when God's truth is hard to hear, people are out there hungering and thirsting for the truth and to find real meaning and purpose for their lives. So John preached the law. He told people they were sinful. He told people they needed a Savior. He told them they were lost and condemned without the Messiah. But then he pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Don't you wish we had a complete sermon from John the Baptist? Wouldn't you love to hear all that he had to say? They compared him to Isaiah and Elijah. He must have repeated the Old Testament stories from those men. He must have reminded them that the prophets had predicted that one day God would send a Messiah, a Savior, to pay for the sins of the world. Then he shared the great good news, Jesus Christ is that Messiah. He is the Savior come at last. I bet John told parts of the Christmas story. Probably talked about his own dad who was struck dumb because he didn't believe the message of the angel. Probably told of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. John preached the law. He told people about sin and sorrow. He told them that forgiveness was available through baptism and through faith in Jesus Christ. John preached the law, he preached some gospel, but he also preached sanctification. What is sanctification? We believe that people are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. You probably know my favorite Bible verse is Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing, it's the gift of God." When the Word of God is preached, people hear different things, different aspects of the message. What do I mean by that? Well, if anyone here tonight is an unbeliever and does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they need to hear the harsh reality of the law. They need to hear that they need to turn to Jesus Christ in faith, be drawn by the Holy Spirit, and acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. But believers hear something else. You and I already know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe He's the Savior of the world. We believe that through faith in Him we'll have forgiveness of sins. And so the Holy Spirit uses a message like this to call us to sanctification. To sanctify means to make holy. So sanctification is the process of working on our faith life, trying to make it more and more the center of everything we say and do. It's putting our faith into action. In Luke's expanded account of this event, he told the Pharisees, "Bear fruit that befits repentance." In other words, let your life show that you now believe in Jesus Christ. When asked what he meant of John, he said, "If you have two tunics, give one to somebody who doesn't have one. If you've got extra food, share it." To the tax collectors, he said, "Be honest in your dealings." To the soldiers, not to extort people or abuse their power. In other words, live your lives in a God-pleasing manner. Peter put it this way, "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, and make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him." The message of Advent is that Jesus is coming and we should prepare. Prepare short-term to celebrate the great good news of Christmas and the gift of a Savior. Do whatever we need to do in our daily lives to walk closer to Jesus Christ so that we can rejoice in all our blessings and in particular the blessings of a Savior. Long-term, prepare for eternity. There is one and only one way to heaven, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Him, we have the promise that our sins are forgiven and we can spend eternity with God. God is calling to us right now through the voice of John the Baptist. He's saying if anyone doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, they need to turn to Him. And God is calling you and I to ongoing repentance, calling us to live a life of serving our Savior by serving one another and those around us. The message of John the Baptist may seem harsh, but it was the truth. And the whole countryside and all of Jerusalem came to him. Let us be heartily sorry for our sin, but let us also heartily rejoice in the great good news that God loves and forgives us. The message of Christmas is unto you is born this night in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. May we lovingly and yet firmly proclaim the message of salvation to our world. And let us pray the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and minds and draw them to Him. Let us work to prepare the way of the Lord for our world. In closing, let's go back to our opening illustration. You've just been sprayed by a skunk, and the smell is overwhelming and overpowering. One person says, well, spray some perfume on it and you might be able to stand it. Another says, wash in tomato juice and it'll be a little better. And someone else says, well, use this on your clothes and this on your body and it'll get a little better. And then someone else says, would you like it if I could make it as if it never happened? Which would you choose? A cover-up, a feeble effort to clean up, or the opportunity to make it as if it never happened? As we stand before God as sinners, the world says, your sin's not that bad. Do this and no one will really know. Do this and it won't seem so bad. But Jesus Christ offers you full, free, and complete forgiveness. We have sin in our lives. We have to deal with the consequences of sin. But Christmas is God reaching down and saying, I love you. I forgive you. I provided a Savior. Through faith in me, you can have eternal life. So let us prepare for Christmas by focusing on how much God loves us and the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.